Well, let's open in our Bibles this morning to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We have visitors, so let me explain. We've been going through the book of Galatians for quite some time now, and we've slowed down in our study of this book over the last few weeks and maybe even months, looking at the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And having completed the works of the flesh, we've been now, the last 3 weeks, looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we want to continue to do so this morning. I bet some of my children are getting a little bit tired of me pointing out to them, many of them, over and over again over the last few weeks, you know, what's motivating you, your flesh or the Spirit? And so that's been one of the benefits of this study. It's been fresh on my mind, and so I'm able to explain to my children at times that what is motivating them is not the Spirit of God, but the flesh. And as I've often said, we need to get in the habit of asking ourselves the question, why? Why do we feel the way we do? Why do we think the way we do? Why do we act the way that we're acting? And if we'll ask ourselves the question why, many times we'll determine our motive, what is motivating us, and then correct our actions if that is necessary. Because as we all realize, just because we feel like saying something, just because we feel like acting in a certain way or behaving a certain way, does not make it right. It does not mean that we should go in that direction. We should instead follow the principles of the Word of God. And so that's why I think that this study of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit is beneficial for every one of us. So let's read our text, just verses 22 and 23, and then we'll get into the message. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Let's pray, and then I'll introduce the message. Lord, bless as we study the Word of God this morning. Lord, might we truly be a group of people that are filled and controlled by the Holy Ghost. Lord, may we not allow our flesh to control us. Might we instead yield to the leading of the Spirit of God. And Lord, by doing so, might we bring glory to Thee in our lives. Lord, if there's one or more among us this morning that are not yet saved, they've never repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Lord, might they do so today. Might You draw them to the Savior that they could be born again. And then, Lord, for those of us that are Your children, just give us a proper understanding of the subject that we examine. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've looked at love and joy, and therefore this morning we want to take a look at peace. Now, it is worth noting that the fruit of the Spirit is not in the plural like the works of the flesh. It's like one singular action, the fruit of the Spirit. And what that means is when we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we'll not just exhibit one of these characteristics, we'll exhibit all of them. When God is truly in control of our lives, we will be compassionate, we'll exercise love, we will rejoice or be filled with joy regardless of the circumstances, and likewise, we will always be at peace. And again, that's what we want to look at this morning, peace. One of my study Bibles defines this word peace as tranquility of mind. And we probably need to define that word tranquility for some of you. Have you ever heard of a tranquilizer? You know, sometimes at the zoo they'll use tranquilizer guns to put a rather large or ferocious animal to sleep. That way they can come and maybe put some kind of collar on it or administer some type of medicine. They've got to shoot it with a tranquilizer so that it will pass out You know, otherwise it might try to eat them when they put a collar on them. Well, that gives you some kind of idea of what the word tranquility means. At rest. At sleep. Because when the animal is shot with a tranquilizer, it looks very much at peace. It's just laying there all quiet-like. That study Bible went on to say, not only is it tranquility of mind, but being free from worry or fear. Webster's Dictionary defines peace as a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. Have you ever heard somebody say, I've only got one nerve left and you're standing on it? Or something like that. They sound a little bit agitated. That means they're not at peace, according to Mr. Webster's definition of it. The word that's translated peace, the Greek word that's translated peace, is also translated one and rest. Therefore, when we talk about peace, when the Bible uses the word peace here, we're not talking about peace as opposed to war, like an outward element. Instead, we're talking about an inward peace. And that inward peace is obtained by being saved and walking in the Spirit. And so let me ask to begin our message, peace, do you have it? Do you know what it is? Do you have a tranquility, a quietness, a calmness in the depths of your soul that nothing can disturb? Of course, the opposite of being at peace would mean to be nervous, frustrated, turbulent, or worried. There are some who have characterized our society as a Prozac society, a Zyprexin. Do you know what those two drugs are used for, Prozac and Zyprexin? There's all kinds of other drugs very similar to these that people take. And do you know why they take them? To try to bring some sort of peace to their life. Because they're anxious, they're nervous, they're frustrated, they can't sleep, they can't operate. And they have to have some type of outside substance injected into their bodies to bring to their lives peace. And even that's only temporary. You know, you ever stop to think maybe what people really need is Jesus Christ? And if people would get saved and they would begin to practice biblical principles, maybe they wouldn't need all those. I don't know if those are considered antidepressants or what. Maybe they wouldn't need those things. That's what I believe. There might be some medical conditions that require medication. I don't know. But I think the vast majority of them could be solved with people simply getting saved and obeying the Bible. Let me have you look at an illustration of the type of peace that we're talking about. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We will in a moment look at like three different types of peace the Bible references, and that'll kind of be the main outline for our message. But I just kind of want to focus and emphasize peace this morning, and hopefully by doing that we'll come away with a better understanding of what it means. Notice here in Mark chapter 4, in verse 35. It says, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Jesus, let us pass over unto the other side. So they were going to get in a boat. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. You know, the Bible often gives us accounts like this, where storms just pop up, you know, out of nowhere. And that always seems a little strange to me, you know, having lived my entire life in the Midwest. I mean, I'm always looking at the weather satellite, seeing what it's doing out west, and I say, well, that's coming this way in a couple of days. And there's not very much in the way of weather that takes us by surprise anymore, because we're just watching the skies. But it seems like, you know, everything would be clear. In Bible times here, they'd be out on the Sea of Galilee or the Mediterranean Sea, and then boom, this storm would just come out of nowhere. I was even talking to Dad about that because I don't know if you read, they had a huge storm out west in North Dakota. I was reading an article where it stated that they got 4 foot of snow just dumped on them, just like that. And there is speculated to be 100,000 cattle that were killed in that storm. So get your beef while you can, because it's probably going to be running out. But there's this storm. It just comes out of nowhere, and there's winds and there's waves. And it says in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, you know, and again, every time I stop and meditate on this portion of Scripture, I'm thinking to myself, if there's anyone who's acting odd here, it's Jesus. Because the normal reaction is the reaction of the disciples. And that is to get frantic and determine what we're going to do so this boat doesn't sink and we die. If we were in that boat, we'd have been acting just like all the disciples. We'd have been frantic. Our blood pressure would have went through the roof. Our heart would have been pounding fast. The adrenaline would have been rushing. And by the way, those are all signs that we don't possess peace. Jesus was at peace. How do you know? He was sleeping. Can you imagine the boat being tossed here and there? Rain falling on his face? I don't know. I mean, I get the picture. It's just this little John boat. Maybe it's, you know, something much more significant than that. You know, maybe had a little sleeping quarters down at the bottom. I don't know. But Jesus was at peace. He was at rest. And it says in verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. You see, during the storm, there was not peace outwardly. It wasn't outward peace, there was a storm. And everything was chaotic. Everything was out of control, or so it appeared. But Jesus always exhibited peace in his life. He wasn't worried. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't anxious. He wasn't like, oh, we might die. His blood pressure didn't rise. He just woke up, rubbed his eyes. Peace, be still. And it was all peaceful. You know, if I was knowing this passage of Scripture, I always like to imagine how I would act if me and Jesus went out in the boat and the storm come upon us. And then maybe I've talked about that a little bit too sometimes, haven't I? Because, you know, I remember, you know, being the disciples, and what they should have said is, hey, sir, stop! Get your gloves, guys! Come up on me! Let's see if they do this belly flop! You know, you know, maybe that's how they should have been. They shouldn't have been worried. I mean, Jesus, he looks at them in verse 40 and he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of, dying? Well, then you go to heaven. Oh, how terrible. Again, we wouldn't think that as a normal approach, a normal emotion to be like that. But I think that's why it's important that we exhibit that in our lives. Because when everything around us is completely out of control and we're at peace with it and we're not ruffled and we're not upset and our blood pressure doesn't go up, the world's going to look at us and say, how in the world can you maintain such a peaceful attitude when everything around you is out of control? And that would give us the opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? When life takes a turn, does your peace quickly fail? When the car breaks down, when the house catches fire, when the dogs ran over, when somebody calls you a rascal, how about when the government shuts down? How about when Barack Obama is reelected as president? Does that cause your peace to fly away like a bird? Or is there still calmness in your soul? Psalm 119 and verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Talks about peace in that verse, doesn't it? Great peace have they which love thy law. Do you love the Bible? Do you practice it in your life? Then the Bible says you can possess great peace. And then it goes on to say, and nothing shall offend them. Now that word offend doesn't mean what we would think it to mean. Matter of fact, I often find myself asking the question, what do people mean when they say, I'm offended? And somebody needs to explain that to me. What does it mean when someone says, usually we're appalled. I mean, I don't know that people, that things offend me. I see people do things and I think that's not right, that's wrong, but it doesn't offend me, I don't think. But here, when it says, and nothing shall offend them, again, just understanding Hebrew poetry and the parallelisms that are used, that last phrase of the passage means something very similar to the first phrase. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In other words, there's nothing that's going to be able to rob someone like that of their peace. Nobody can take it away. Because look at Jesus. Look at what surrounded him in this boat. And he was at peace. Are we like that? When our lives are spinning out of control, are we at peace? You know, Pastor Seth Buckner, he posted something yesterday on Facebook, and I just couldn't believe it. He said he posted something earlier and he wanted to explain himself, and he just listed all the things that had went on, I guess, in his life and ministry, and I think in the last 24 hours. He said there are church folks who are sick, and I guess he's probably out having to visit them. There are church folks who are feuding with one another, and he's having to deal with that. He says somebody broke into the church and stole the assistant pastor's computer. He was awakened in the middle of the night by the police, who said that the church van had been stolen, taken on a joyride, and wrecked. On top of that, he comes home, and his wife Elizabeth had burnt all of her fingers somehow, and it was uncertain whether or not she was going to be able to play the piano this morning in their services. And so he's listening to all this stuff, and I'm like, oh my. And he says, all I've got to say is God's been good. That's not a normal reaction, is it? To having endured so many things. But that's a biblical reaction, isn't it? God's been good. I hope that's the kind of peace that we have in our lives, that regardless of the circumstances around us, there's calmness in our soul. You know, the three different types of peace that the Bible speaks of. There's the peace of God, the peace from God, and peace with God. And let me talk about each of those here for just a few minutes. First, the peace of God. You can turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is one of the passages that references the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, and that word careful means anxious, nervous. Another way of saying be careful for nothing is don't let anything worry you. Okay, so be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice the consequence of that in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can have the peace of God that keeps your heart and your mind calm and quiet, regardless of what comes your way. If you'll be careful, don't worry, and instead, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Just give everything to God. That's another way of saying it. Just give everything to God. Your desires, your needs, your worries, just give, as it says elsewhere, cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Just give them to God. And don't worry about them anymore. And the peace of God. And it describes this peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It goes back to what I said just a moment ago. If you exercise this kind of peace in your life, and you're sleeping when everybody else is running around you, I'm going to die! People are going to look at you and say, how in the world can you be like that? Because they don't understand it. The world doesn't understand that kind of peace because they've never possessed it. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. I think the phrase is also used in the book of Colossians. Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Notice it says that let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's to reign. One Bible teacher said, the peace of God is the harmony and concord created by God among His people. It is to rule. That Greek verb means to act as an umpire who makes decisions in an athletic contest. Thus, let the peace of God rule in your hearts means that when believers are at odds with each other, whatever course of action best maintains peace and fosters harmony is the course to be taken. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it be king. And let it help you make your decisions. Then there's the peace from God. That was the peace of God. Then there's the peace from God. And this phrase is mentioned at the beginning of many of the epistles. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, etc. All the way down to the book of Philemon, almost all of the epistles that God used Paul to write mention this phrase. For instance, Philemon 1:3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And even 2 John verse 3 says, grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father. And the one thing I want to stress from this particular phrase is that this peace comes from God. It's a peace that comes from God. It's not a peace that the world gives. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And also in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. How were the disciples able to be martyrs for the cause of Christ? Because again, during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't always see the disciples being the most mature of believers. When Jesus was arrested, they all scattered. Peter was asked three times, aren't you one of His disciples? He denied it every time. When Jesus said, pray with me for an hour, they fell asleep continuously. They don't always appear to be the most mature of believers. But after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost, they were able to give their lives for the cause of Christ, all of them but one. How were they able to do that and have calmness in their soul? Because they were controlled by the Spirit of God. I recently read about a preacher. He was over in one of the Muslim countries, I think, on the continent of Africa. I think I mentioned it in passing last week, but the Muslims stormed his church, killed about 50 people, including many of his children and his wife. But when they quoted, you know, his response to what had happened, it wasn't an angry response. He was not filled with indignation or wrath, but he was very humble. And even yet still praising God, though what he endured was hard. How was he able to have peace in the midst of such a tragedy? Well, that kind of peace comes from God. It's a peace that God gives. And then, lastly, there is a peace with God that the Scriptures talk about. For instance, in Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice that we have peace with God. Because when we're lost, we don't have peace with God. No, instead we're at odds with God. We're His enemy. Because before we get saved, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're dead in trespasses and sins. That we're children of wrath, that we're alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. It says that there is no hope for us and we are without God. It says we're far off, we're foreigners, we're strangers. We're alienated from God. Again, we're children of wrath. We're awaiting His wrath to fall upon us because of our sin. We're not at peace with God. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we turn, we repent of our sin and acknowledge it before God, believing that Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose again the third day, and trust completely in Him to save us, we then have peace with God. We're no longer His enemy. We're His child. And that's what it means to have peace with God. And boy, if there's anybody in the universe you want to have peace with, it's God. We can survive not having peaceful relationships with North Korea, Iran, Afghanistan, China, Russia. But you can't survive if you don't have peaceful relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father. And after we have peace with God, God wants us to have lives that are characterized by peace. There's so much we could say, so much running through my mind about peace, so many passages. The Bible says the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what comes about whenever you're chasing a child. You know, when the home is out of control, it's not peaceful, what do? You're chasing a child, and chastening them brings about peace. Some homes never have peace because there's never any discipline. Do we have peace in our hearts and lives? You know, I love to listen to talk radio and to stay informed politically. But what I found over the last couple of years, if you listen to that stuff and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it over and over again, here to rob you of your peace. And I think things are bad politically. And I think they'll just get worse. But if you just listen over and over and over again to the terrible consequences that are going to come to this country as a result of the political decisions that are being made in Washington, D.C. right now, it can rob you of your peace. So it might be best sometimes just to turn that off. I'd rather listen to the Christian radio station, but they just don't have very good programming around here, do they? Like what Dave Wright said one time to me. He said, I listen to the station, but when that old lady and old man are on, he says, I just can't keep it on. Anybody listen to the Christian station around? I knew what he was talking about, too. But let me close with this. They're sweet folks. Don't misunderstand me. It's just hard to listen to. Turn to Psalm chapter 23. Let me just close with this passage, because I believe it speaks of peace, the type of peace that God intends for us to exhibit in our lives. Everybody should know Psalm chapter 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I shall not lack. Shall not lack anything. Why? Because Jesus is our shepherd. It's verse 2 that I'm interested in where it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The sheep here are portrayed as lying down in green pastures. What's the significance of that? Well, normally, if sheep find themselves in the midst of green pastures, what are they going to be doing? They're going to be eating. They're like, look at all of this grass. And I am so hungry. And they're eating it. But when the Lord's your shepherd, He makes you to lie down in green pastures. Why? I'm so full, I could not eat another piece of grass. That's what's being portrayed here. And being at peace, having the peace of God means you're content. It means you're satisfied. You see, when you're not content, when you're not satisfied, there's all kinds of turmoil in your life. But when you're at peace, you're content. And it says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. In other words, it's kind of the opposite of the storm that we saw there in Mark chapter 4. There's no waves. There's no rain. There's no wind. There's not even a ripple. Just calm. Calmness. And folks, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we not only have love and joy in our hearts, but we have peace. We have calmness. We have contentment. We're not worried. No matter how turbulent things get around us, we are at peace. Because we know God's in control, and He's going to take care of everything, and nothing will occur outside of His will. I hope that's the kind of peace that we exhibit in our lives. If not, maybe it's because we're controlled too much by the flesh, and we need to allow the Spirit of God to take control of our lives. And let me just close with this. If you do not have peace with God, it's important that you get that peace. And you can if you'll just repent of your sin and call upon Jesus and ask Him to save you. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the time that we've had to examine this morning the subject of peace. And Lord, I do pray that if there's one here that does not yet have peace with Thee, that this morning they would call upon You and ask You to save them. And Lord, if we don't have peace in our lives, And may we truly, objectively look at our lives to see whether or not we have the type of peace that we've looked at this morning in our hearts and minds. And if not, Lord, help us to repent of that and allow the Spirit of God to control us. Lord, not to be filled with worry or fretting or anxieties, but just giving to You all of our needs, all of our cares, knowing that You'll better take care of those things than we ever could ourselves. And Lord, just help us to have this peace that's described in the Bible as passing all understanding. So bless Your word as it's went forth. Use it in the hearts and minds of Your people. Use it to bring glory to Thyself. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn number 100. Hymn number 100, Wonderful Peace.